Welcome to Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brand, last week I spent all of it in Orlando at the NCAA Student Athlete Development Conference. There were some major differences for what used to be the National Leadership Conference. Before we talk about those differences, I want to get your take on why it's important for the association to sponsor leadership conferences.
Well, it's a great opportunity to look across the board in all sports and in all divisions about our student athlete leaders. These are individuals who are not only good sports they're playing, not only good in academics, but also have that natural leadership talent. And we want to help bring it out so they can bring it home to their campuses, help others, for example, in the SAC, take advantage of it, but also to develop themselves as persons once they graduate and begin to play a leadership role in their communities and their businesses.
We've spoken about the merits of SAC a number of times, and one of the things that I liked about the development conference is that there were student-athlete advisory committee sessions so that the participants came and they spoke with the National SAC. National SAC led the session, talked about things at the national level that they can go back and educate the student-athletes on all of their respective campuses. And it's that type of dissemination, I think, is probably important for these campus leaders.
It's important for the campus leaders. It gives them a chance to practice leadership. It also shows the importance of SAC on campuses, providing some opportunity for students to take a leadership position within athletics, but also for the SAC itself to bring that point of view to the entire athletic department and beyond to the campus as well. So it has large-scale ramifications in addition to the students who attend the conference.
I've been to a number of these regional and national leadership conferences, and one thing that always strikes me is when we have these conferences, the student athletes recognize that their voice actually matters in the NCAA governance structure.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Josh. I mean, we tell them that, and in fact, it's true, but it's as if it's not credible until they see it up front and close. And they do see it up front and close in these kinds of leadership conference meetings, certainly when you go to the divisional meetings or the committee meetings in which students participate. In fact, one might say that their voice is listened to a great deal by presidents, ADs, coaches. They're surprised by it. I'm not.
I think that's exciting, and I think that the participants are excited by that. One of the major changes that happened at this year's conference was that we had twice as many student athletes there as in years past. We used to have about 350 to 400 student athletes. Now it's more than 700. What's the rationale for doubling the number of participants?
We've been so successful over a decade, really, having about 350, 400 student athletes, that we wanted to share it on a larger scale. So this is the first year we've ramped it up to see if we can do as good a job for 700 as we've done for 400. That's a big difference, and it may change, the scale may change the success of it. Now, you mentioned you were just there. What's your view, having looked at this one from a point of view of 400 versus 700? Was it a successful?
Yeah, you know, what I really think is that twice as many kids got to experience some of the wonderful things that the NCAA has to offer. They had a chance to be educated, and then they'll be able to go back to their camps. They're all underclassmen for the most part.
Right.
They'll go back to their campuses and be able to educate their student-athlete colleagues, which I think is really integral. You know, the thing that I really liked is being a Division III, former Division III student-athlete, there was more of an opportunity for Division III student-athletes to be at the conference because previously you had to have a CHAMPS Life Skills program on campus, and that's legislated in Division I, but not all Division II and III programs have that. So I feel that the student-athlete population on a whole across the country will benefit from the changes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and you're quite right, of course. We do invite underclassmen in order for them to go back and bring the messages and the learning that took place at the conference, bring that home. Did it scale up well?
I thought it did. I thought that it was a really, really successful first try at splitting the conference. You know, there was a quick turnaround when you go from a five-day conference to a two-and-a-half and a two-and-a-half, but I thought that the student-athletes really had a wonderful time, and I don't see any reason that we wouldn't continue to make improvements in these development conferences because they're just such incredible benefits.
They are. You know, Josh, I've spoken to many student-athletes over the years who have been to that conference in particular and similar ones, and it's remarkable. You get a uniform answer of how much they didn't merely like it, but how much they learned. And usually at the end of these conferences, I'll get a bunch of emails and say, this has actually been my best experience while I've been in college. And that really speaks well for those who conduct the conferences and the reasons why we do it.
Well, it's one of the favorite things that I think the NCAA does, and I look forward to going to many more.
Good.
Thanks, Dr. Brandt.